Today's reading is from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandaka, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of the scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Okay, Father, we thank you, Lord, for Kate. Thank you, Father, for the preparation that she's put into bringing this word this evening. And thank you for the time that she spent seeking you to bless this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. The title for tonight's talk is Living for Jesus. And it's another one in our kind of sermon series about talking about big things. And one excitement that you can dread or look forward to is that I'm going to pause after my 3 points and give you a question to discuss with someone with you. You can tell me at the end if that was horrific and you don't like talking to anybody, but hopefully if you're here on your own, someone lovely will turn and talk to you. But I just thought, it's Summer Sunday, it's like, let's try something different in this talk. So, what does it look like to live for Jesus? Can you think of someone who you think does this well? I would love to tell you a bit about some of my friends who are called Dave and Mary. They are missionaries in Pakistan. And Mary, when she came up to university, wasn't a Christian. Now she lives every day of her life in a country where the Taliban operates. Her husband has been arrested at one point and accused of being an Indian spy, which, given the fact he is very light-skinned and comes from Scotland, was quite surprising, but was not easy. She talks of the need for Jesus being so great in Pakistan that even though living there is so hard, she can't imagine ever leaving. I am so inspired by her courage and bravery and by how much her life has been transformed by Jesus. just before they left to go to Pakistan, one of her siblings reported her and her husband to social services, and they were investigated. But they have been obedient. They've listened to God, and they've followed him to where he is leading them. And what's a wonderful thing for me is that when Mary came to university, she and I read the Bible together, and that's how she came to faith. Tonight, we're thinking about living for Jesus. And so we had this beautiful encounter between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And I have 3 points for us of how we might think of living for Jesus more. The first one of these is listening to the Spirit. The second is knowing the faith. And the third is playing our part. So first, listening to the Spirit. If we look in our passage, in verse 26, the angel of the Lord says to Philip. In verse 29, the Spirit speaks to Philip. And in verse 39, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. Philip is walking with the Spirit. He is listening to the Spirit of God, and he is seeking to be obedient to what the Spirit of God is placing on his heart. I've had a few experiences in my life where I have felt the Spirit of God specifically say something to me. I had it when I walked around the campus at Manchester in 2003, and I heard God say, "You will come to this university." I had it when I was sitting at a church weekend away, and I was slightly wondering what I was going to end up doing professionally, and I heard God say, pointing to the church leader who was speaking on our weekend away, I heard God say, "That's what I want you to do." But we probably all experience this differently. But we can only be people who are listening to the Spirit if we are walking every day with God. If we're people who want to make our faith a faith of the whole week and not just a faith of Sunday. Let's be people like Philip who are practicing a relationship with God that is close, that is intimate, that is frequent. People who pray to God, who listen to God, who spend time reading God's word and seeking to implement what it says in our lives. I realize that some of us in doing that have the luxury of time. You know, now that I work from home, I can spend more time reading the Bible and praying in the morning. But when I was a teacher, I had to leave the house at 8:10 every day, and I always left at 8:15, and I was late every day, every day of every term, and I couldn't do that. So we, you know, don't hear me say that we must all be spending hours and hours. It's simply not possible. But I'd love to encourage you to be thinking, how could you be developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit that is living inside of you? What would that look like for you, for that to deepen and develop? Thomas Goodwin, who was a Puritan writer, he spoke of the Holy Spirit as a taste of heaven, of an encounter of what living in communion with God is like. Isn't that such a privilege that when we're listening to the Holy Spirit, we're literally tasting heaven? He wrote, "There is nothing sweeter than the love of God and the tasting of that sweetness in the deposit of inheritance." So let's be listening to the Spirit, keeping in step with it. So your first question for discussion is, how could you listen to the Holy Spirit more effectively in your life, or what makes that difficult for you? And I'll give you 1 minute. Okay, I'm going to move us on. I know that was very brief, but you can always continue your discussion later. So the second thing for us to be thinking about from this passage of living for Jesus is knowing our faith. Philip hears the Spirit calling him to the chariot, and the man is reading Isaiah 53. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Now, has anyone ever said to you, "Hey, would you like to come over to my house and help me put together a piece of furniture?" And you said, "I'd love to." And then you've got there, and you've opened the manual, and it has made absolutely no sense to you. My mom and I put together a bed in my house in Suffolk, which had approximately 385 different pieces to it. And it was really difficult, and we nearly gave up. But it would have helped if one of us had made that bed before, if one of us was familiar with the manual. Now, the Ethiopian eunuch is not reading a straightforward piece of scripture. He's reading, you know, a challenging bit speaking about Jesus as a lamb who was giving his life as an innocent sacrifice. But Philip is able to explain what that passage means, and then to use that passage to explain all of scripture and tell him the good news of Jesus. And he can only do that because he knows his faith. He knows what it is that he believes. So he's then able to have a conversation with someone. And we need to be believers who are growing and who are developing our understanding of our faith. When I went off to study theology, I was talking to someone and I said, "It's okay. I mean, sometimes someone says something in a lecture which directly criticizes the Christian faith, but I just think, never mind, it doesn't really matter." And he said, "No, Kate, if someone does that, you need to go away, you need to read about it, and you need to work out what your answer to it is to be." We need to be people who are being discipled, who are growing in our faith. And wonderfully, that's something that we can do together. We can do that with our friends. We can do that with our connect groups. We can do that with our children. So a friend of mine has written a Christian book, which is a very simple catechism of questions that you can ask a toddler. And she sends me all these Instagram videos of her asking her 2-year-old toddler, "How many persons are there in God?" And then the toddler replies with a 7-word answer, because very cleverly, all of the questions have that number words in the answer. And I wanted to share with you tonight 2 books which have really helped me recently to develop and grow in my faith. And interestingly, they were both given to me by Michael and Zena. This is called Gentle and Lowly, and it's a book all about Jesus, all about Jesus's heart, and it features lots of different passages from the Puritans. And I really learned in this about how Jesus is interceding for us on our behalf in heaven, which wasn't really something I'd come across or thought about much before. And then I also read this, which is Amazed by Jesus by Simon Ponsonby. And they're both quite short chapters, so I'd read 1 chapter a day. And it really helped me develop and deepen my understanding of Jesus and who he was. So our second question is there a part of your faith that you would like to understand more thoroughly? I'll give you another minute. Okay, I hope that that was helpful for you. I will finish with my third point. We've had listening to the Spirit, knowing the faith, and then finally, being a part of the story. Because when I read this passage at the beginning of the week, the verse that really struck me was verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. As part of following the Spirit and knowing his faith, Philip has had the immense privilege of introducing this man to Jesus, of telling him the good news, of baptizing him, but then he never sees him again. And we may have been a part of someone's faith story, and we will never know. I have quite an unusual surname, and I was at a conference, and someone came up to me and said, "Oh, Kate Pellerow, are you Rod Pellerow's daughter?" And I said, "Oh, yes, I am. I am." And he said, "Your dad came to speak at my school Christian meeting, and I became a Christian." And I was like, I think that's so incredible. My dad had no idea. He wrote a talk, he went off, he did it. And this man gave his life to Jesus because of that. It's so beautiful. And it's a beautiful reminder that we partner with God and not God with us. We must recognize the moments which he calls us to be a part of, but be willing to accept that we won't get to see everything. We're just partners. We only see a small bit, but God sees everything. And it's God who chooses this for us. And that's the way round that it should be. It shouldn't be us kind of meeting someone and then shoehorning ourselves into their life and trying to be a part of their entire faith journey. We have. You know, if we believe in a God who opens people's blind eyes and calls them into faith, then we must be able to trust that after we've played our part, that person can go on. Because this eunuch leaves Philip rejoicing. He knows that the moment that they've shared together, the moment that the Spirit had anointed for them to have together, has happened. Let's focus on God's glory and not on our own. I love evangelism and I love sharing my faith. So there are some people that I have sat with and prayed for as they have come to know Jesus. And all I can do now is continue to pray for them as I don't get to see them anymore. So are there people that we can be praying for? Are there people who we know now that we could be trying to have an impact in their faith journey? I wonder if maybe you could turn now and maybe share the name of someone that you'd love to pray with the name of someone that you would like to pray about with the person that you're sitting next to. And then you could just share that name or you could pray together for opportunities to speak to that person about Jesus. Okay, let's come back together. And I hope that that has given you a chance for some rich conversation that you could continue later. What have we learned from Philip tonight? I hope that you will be able to take away these three simple points. If we're people who are living for Jesus, we need to be living in step with the Spirit. We need to be people who know our faith, who understand the God who we believe in. And I would encourage you to think if there's something you want to do some reading about or have a conversation with someone about that you don't quite understand yet, that would be a really positive thing to do. And we need to be believers who believe in a big God who sees the overall picture, even when we can't, and have the humility to recognize that being even a small part of God's plan in someone's life is the most wonderful and amazing privilege. you might like to consider this week or later on tonight about if there's one of those things that you find more difficult, one of those things that you might like to spend some time praying about this week. But as the band come up now, I am going to pray for us all. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of Philip, that in this story of meeting the Ethiopian eunuch, he got to share his faith. He got to be with this man as he was baptized. And then he got to leave, and we trust and believe that this man continued in the faith into which he was baptized. Please could we be those who are living our lives for you, just as Philip was, who are listening to the moments when your spirit is prompting us, who have the ability to share and explain faith with people if they have questions, and who have the amazement of knowing how wonderful it is to be part of your redemption story in other people's lives. Amen.